Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging in there. And of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on our other locations of the Valley Outdoors, which would be where, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Ava?
Facebook. Those are the two, Facebook. Three places. Radio, World Wide Web, Facebook.
There you go. And you can log on and listen
to the show. I don't know if most people realize they can go onto our website and listen to our shows at any time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just catch it on one of our wonderful radio station affiliates. You can listen to the podcast on it. It's very easy to do. Just go to TheValleyOutdoors.com and up on the top, I believe it's the right side on the very top, you click on it and
latest
it says
episode.
Programs. You got all kinds of episodes.
Yeah, it'll plug you in. You can literally binge listen. Is that what you call that, binge listening? Is that what
you call that? You got a problem.
Yep.
It's kind of like when you watch Landman. We haven't seen like seven episodes. You just park it in front of the TV. And
oh, yeah.
Which I'm behind on.
I'm not thinking about that at that level yet.
Landman is amazing. Sorry. So anyway, Billy Bob Thornton, what an amazing actor. But nonetheless, speaking of acting and what we're going to be doing in the acting and action in the outdoors, we talk a little bit about the spearfishing. And Mike from Schoonfeld from Outdoor News wrote a good article. I like the article. I think we have different opinions, which is fine. And that's really what helps people, I think, understand and maybe come to a different thoughts. Would you agree, Don?
Well, absolutely. Well, there's always more than one opinion.
Right. And it's a matter of, how do you put it? History has or always will give you an understanding of where things can go with certain paths you go down. Would you agree?
Sure.
If you look at history, whether it's in the outdoors, and we'll just use the outdoors, you'll see that there's tendencies that can create issues with regulations or limits or whatever. I mean, if you remember Lake Mille Lacs. Mille Lacs had, what was it? They had a 14 to 15 inch or 15 to 16 inch slot limit. There wasn't a fish that made it through that gauntlet. If that fish was caught, it was not being thrown back. So it was devastating certain parts of that fishery.
Probably took a year class out.
Took a year class out completely. So that's where you look back and say, that wasn't a wise thing to do, especially in the fishery, so utilize that. So I'll leave you with that. This is the scenario. It's in Michigan, and Mike's commentary goes as follows. Michigan has a long history of creating rules and regulations designed to increase opportunities for hunters and anglers and other outdoor lovers. Most recently, the Michigan Natural Resources Commission expanded places where underwater spearfishing for walleye, pike, and lake trout will be allowed. And Mike's opinion is good for them. Michigan's often been the leader when it comes to fish and game regulations, and now they're showing the way by promoting participation in the little-known fishing adventure. Half the states right now allow underwater spearfishing at all. Why not more? I'm sure there are several reasons. Many, I suppose, have never had much demand for it. Scuba diving and snorkeling are background recreational activities in most inland states, and only a portion of participants of scuba and or free diving want to spear any fish while they're underwater. Those states that do allow underwater spearfishing, mostly restricted to spearing rough fish, usually carp, suckers, and others, catfish. In some places, yes, some no. Hardly any states allow spearing or arrowing what most people call game fish, that anglers like to fish for, and the ones most people enjoy eating. And again, why not? Perhaps rule setters think spearfishing is unsporting or too easy. They could be places where spearfishing would likely be shooting fish in a barrel. When I'm fishing with conventional tackle, again, this is Mike in his article, I like to cast a lure into those fish in a barrel hotspots. Would spearfishing there be too easy? I don't think so, but what do I know? So the whole point really comes down here is he feels that spearfishing is a good thing. Expanding it. Most fish swim out of range when you're trying to shoot them underwater. Some turn when he was doing this offshore. He said they turned to look at him, and he's got a little target when you're facing you. And he barely got anything, even enough for lunch when he did do it. He said perhaps rule setters think spearfishing would lead to over-harvest of game species. His point is, really, there's hundreds of thousands of conventional tackle anglers in most of the states that allow spearfishing. Most spearfishing legal states don't require special permits, and so on. The question is, what's your guess of the total harvest? And it comes out the first 3-year average was 430 walleye per season were speared.
Total.
Yeah, which is not much.
No, that's
But, so, long story short, comes down to the point. They voted to expand the spearfishing beginning in April 2026 to include Lake Superior, Lake Erie. He says good for them. Michigan DNR Fishing Guide, they're going to have all the details in there. Obviously, there's no catch and release in that particular case. Certainly, but remember, conventional angler has little control over the species of fish that bites the hook or the size of the fish. All right, so counter to that article, I wrote, Mike, and before I go through that, here's what I want to do. Don, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, when we started the conversation prior to going on air, we talked about spearfishing, and I, of course, was thinking dark house, not underwater. I think your story went along the lines of what I figured would probably happen is I can't anticipate that it would have any effect on a fishery because I can't imagine there's that many people that would want to make the investment and the training it would take to be able to, one, scuba dive and then go spear fishing. So if you're not in clear water, it's going to be next to impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing... I think about when I think of dark house spearing, it's got to be based on the species of the fish.
Right. Now,
if it's rough fish, I really don't have an issue with that. Doing it for sport, that's fun.
Yep.
I know they do a lot of spear fishing in Wisconsin, and like in Lake Winnebago for sturgeon.
Oh, yeah.
And they have tournaments. And
huge
that,
event.
Huge event. So, I mean, but where I am opposed to spear fishing is for northern pike. I just think that they could put a hurt on the population of big northern pike, and the reason that is, to me it's a northern pike's a game fish, and there's no chance for catch and release. Even if you nick them, you're going to really put the hurt on them.
Absolutely.
And but I know it's been over in history. It's been a big sport. I actually have. In my lure collection, my vintage lure collection, quite a few decoys that were used back in the 30s. But the overall, I underwater spear fishing, like you're going to comment on here, I really can't see that's going to be much of a problem. I don't know if it's legal in any other states. I'm not aware if it is.
South Dakota is, and it's an example I bring up that I will bring up momentarily. But
yep.
You're spot on. Mine comes from a different experience where I actually did have a body of water. I'm not going to say where it was. It was South Dakota that they have an actual spearfishing boats that go out, and they have all the supplies. You rent everything's there.
Yep.
And they take people out, and they go to the spots where they know there's fish. And the unfortunate part was. We're fishing a tournament.
Were they fishing for, are they allowed to take walleye and northern and anything? Okay.
This body of water has a slot limit.
Okay.
The challenge that I posed to Mike in my commentary, I won't read the whole thing, but when they go out and spearfish, they have a float
right.
That identifies that there's a diver.
Right.
You're not allowed within, I think it's 200 feet of that marker.
Okay.
So they got out before we did for our tournament, and where we had already been fishing for 2 days, the third day is the championship day. We couldn't fish the spot we wanted to fish because they had moved in, and now we were pushed completely off. We could not troll the area. A little frustration going on at that point because you now are not coexisting in an outdoor environment with that sport. You now have basically eliminated a spot because you had three people fishing.
How long are they typically out there? I mean, it's how long? I mean, it's they couldn't have been there for more than an hour.
No, they were out there for, well, because they rotated. They kept the buoys out, came somebody else, comes in, jumps in, and they go in, and then the other guys went out and whatever.
Okay.
So, well, it was 3 hours, at least 3 hours.
To make it fair, then nobody in the tournament field could fish that spot.
Well, if you waited long enough, then you could do it. But again, you're talking a championship day. So yeah. My point being, not so much that, it's a matter of when they come in, they will block off a whole spot. It's kind of like if I said, Don, I'm going to go fish a reef on Mille Lacs.
Yep.
And three of us are going to fish it. You can't fish it. You're done.
Yep.
You know that reef should be able to fish 8, 10, 12, 15 boats, right?
Yeah.
The other piece of this comes to play, and this is my big contention. If you expand this to other bodies of water that have a slot limit, I will argue till the end of time that if you're underwater, you cannot tell me if that fish is 25 inches or 27 inches or 26 inches. You can't be that accurate. I'm sorry. And once you pull the trigger, that's it.
Right. You can't release them. That's the
issue. No, there's no catch and release. And that was my real point.
Right.
And, you know, Mike made a good point, and he appreciated that I wrote. He said, thanks for the comment. He said, he writes a column. He hope it creates thought about laws and restrictions that they're dealing with. In that situation I was in, I felt it was not a coexistent fishing / outdoors experience in the water. There's no coexistence between the two. And not only that, you're taking a very strong possibility you're going to get an overslot fish. There's no way around it. So in that scenario,
well, that's where keeping it out of the game fish category. If you're out doing rough fish, go for it. But if it's game fish, it's pretty hard to follow the laws.
Well, and of course, this is my final point on it. The walleye in the Midwest is a prize game fish that can have heated discussions as far as harvest goes.
Right.
And when it comes to methodology, one or two lines or slot fish or whatever, with the expansion of this particular sport, fish fishing, even further complicate the optics regardless of participation. Whether there's minimal people in it or not doesn't matter. What matters is the optics of that sport now being open to people going and doing it. I consider it food for thought. I think it's something we need to consider, but I think it should not be allowed in a slot area. I think it's something that if they start pushing it for those areas, I think it needs to be, in my personal opinion, curtailed simply because the optics are not good. And that's a challenge that we have. So, again.
Well, there again, that's putting regulations on a lake-by-lake basis, which makes a whole lot more sense to me than a blanket for the state.
Problem is, they're not doing that right now. That's where we talked about that last time we were out talking to the DNR when they were in Lake City. And she said, what do you think about what we're doing? I said, well, you've been talking about managing lake by lake and trying to do that, and now suddenly you're going blanket across the state. How does that work?
Right.
So not in agreement on that at all, but I do appreciate Mike reaching out and commenting on my post, and I listed it as coming from the Valley Outdoors, so kind of a neat deal. All right, let's jump into our second piece of the puzzle, Don.
Yep.
Should we leave wake boats in our wake in Minnesota? There was a disturbing video by scientists Jeff Marr and Andy Reisgraf from the University of Minnesota studying the effects of wake boats on the ecosystem concentrating Lake Minnetonka and the Twin Cities Metro. Same video I saw. Although normal boating going too fast in shallow water disturbs the bottom a little bit, wake boat does that times 10. So in this particular case, they tested the different places and what was going on. They monitored underwater cameras placed to 14 feet deep. The boats left a wide swath of disturbance in areas that the standard powerboat going over the top made no difference at all. Problem here is they're now saying there's another report said, 20 feet.
Minimum.
I should say 10 feet, it wasn't affecting it. They're saying now it's 20 feet, not just 14 feet. It's 20 foot depths should be the minimum that you're allowed to do wakeboarding in because of the impact on the bottom. Now, what does that mean as far as impact on the bottom? It absolutely just turns up sediment. And it creates much more turbidity in the water, or in other words, the not clean water. And it changes the whole ecosystem within that particular scenario. So point really comes down to, what are you going to do with it? In my particular opinion on this, I think they need to put a regulation on it. They should be 20 feet, because 20 feet deep as a minimum, forget the shoreline distance. It doesn't matter distance except for erosion. It should be the depth of the water. So that's my...
Yep. So every boat's going to have a depth locator.
They all do.
Yep.
All wake boats do. So. Well, tell you what, folks, thanks for hanging in there with us. I hope you all have had a fantastic holiday season. Looking forward to jumping into the new year with you and the Valley Outdoors. For Ava, Don, and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Be safe out there. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.